Good morning.
Good morning.
There's a song that we sang that Brother Sam wrote the music to. There is a path that no foul knoweth. Now, what I'm asking today in the 6 minutes, maybe, I trust, that some of you who come here will realize that we are here primarily for one reason, and that is to finally get connectivity to our Maker and be fully engaged with His direction rather than ours. Now, we've been here 42 years, and for the most part, without being too critical, I would have to say that there's some dualism, a little bit of theater, pretense, religious activity, wear and tear, the merry-go-round of, I don't know. And God knew that we would be that way, okay? But when Sam wrote the song, "There's a Path That No Foul Knoweth," it is a safety path. Because when I walk on that path, I am protected. Nothing can ultimately hurt me. Even as a son, nothing's going to hurt me also. But the fast track, if there is such a thing, and I question that, is stay connected. You can't do marriage without God. With God, it's still one of the big tests in your life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay, and the girls didn't move their lips. what? Yeah, Betty. Sure, well, we know why. Anyway, and please understand, these times together, I think, and we've all been through them, and we've all been processed, some unto close to death, difficulty, broken legs, broken veins, broken this, broken that, because God wants to get out of us everything that's offensive. So this is a painful operation. And very few choose the path that no foul knoweth. But I'm going to read this to you and shut up here. And we've got probably some wonderful words for you coming that'll be a little more consoling. But you and I are a waste doing our thing. I want to say this particularly to the juniors and seniors, even the sophomores, and the freshmen if they'll listen. You are a waste until you get on that path and are significantly doing all you know to stay close to God. Now, that goes for me, and I have to say, I have no final picture of that. We're disgustingly difficult because we're being tried, okay? And it says, here's a good line. "He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing." Every time you said something nice to a brother, to a sister, to your mother, to your father, to the railroad engineer, every time you have spoken or done a good thing, God has seen it. Okay? He's got it in a book. He's got thousands of stenographers, so we're not going to get by with anything. And he doesn't miss the good thing. Think about this today. You can take home the understanding that every good thing you do in the name of God, he sees it. It registers. That's good. That's a wonderful thing. All right. He bindeth the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to the light. But where shall wisdom be found, and where's the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the place, the price thereof. You don't know where to find it. Well, you do now, but you didn't. You didn't know what to do, because we've all, by now, most everyone who's listening and does anything, I've been kind of shocked. I'm not going to be, I'll just tear at it once in a while. One of the greatest shocks I've had is to see high school kids sit here when different brothers and occasionally I say something that's final. And they look at it like, there goes a crow, or there goes this and that. It is pathetic to me. No, pathetic. Not so much that I'm losing something, but you think over and over and over. Things aren't registering. We're just going through ritual or motion. But the wisdom of God is the Christ that you've become. Please understand, we've got religious circumstances. I'm not saying you became Jesus, okay? You became a son of God, and that son of God, who is Christ, who was the lamb slain, which is hard to get across, and please don't do this with other people, just leave it alone. But among us, it's kind of central that eventually if we know who we are, we may behave differently. But wisdom is Christ. And you have that capacity, but as a growing son, that must mean dependency for you. I don't know what God has for me today. I didn't know if anybody was going to show up. There's somebody coming from over there now. They just got out of bed. Bless their hearts. Maybe you could help them. But we don't know that we have an enormous power, the love of God that's been distributed to us, and we are absolutely never going to die. There's the little lady over there that I love so much, and she still can make noise. God bless her. She needs to know inside, and if you pray for anything, there's no such thing as death. And I've heard guys preach it, and they spend thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars just to keep their carcasses alive, you know. That's okay. But you don't know. Mankind generally doesn't know. You have an edge on most of the people walking down the street. They don't know that within the frame of God's creation, and men who've been born from above have the love of God, and it can be distributed continually, and he never misses it. If you do that, never, never miss it. He knows you're getting up and you're sitting down. Every bird that falls from the sky and every good thing you do in his name is registered forever. God help us. That'd be a good way to meet him, wouldn't it? Lord, thank you for faithful people. Thank you for even the youthful, the very young, who they don't even fully understand how they got here, but they're here. And God, who gave us your Son as a sacrifice, let us understand that we're the sacrifice now. We're to be like him. And the only way we can is to depend on you. We don't know the path unless we're on it and can experience all that he's doing. Be with our absent loved ones all over the world today, and the Christian church and people who are suffering. Give us a constancy in prayer that we think of others rather than ourselves, for Jesus' sake. And help us to know that we come here to praise you for who you are and what you're doing. And everybody said,
I'm not afraid. this next song. We all know it. I just want us all to shut our eyes and sing as a prayer to the Lord for any burden you're carrying that you need the power to break. Any bonds or any burden you're carrying. I just have that burden this morning, like there's some heaviness in all of us that we're carrying, and I just want to sing this song as a prayer that he holds us and he knows us and he has it in his hand.
Forget what I was talking about when that happens. I don't know if any of the rest of you experience that, but it's the same way my wife has trained me, or trying to train me, to not talk with my mouth full. But the problem now is that I forget what I'm going to say if I don't get it right out.
Amen.
No, she's really made progress with me. I'm not saying that that's necessarily the job of a wife, because they've got a full plate with their own soul. But sometimes they try to give some help. It's help in a foreign language sometimes, but nonetheless it's help. And I feel as though I would like to drive my truck right into the middle of something today that is the biggest challenge that I face. And I'd like to not be very long, although I have pages and pages of notes and stuff you should know, because you're lacking in knowledge. So, I've been looking at Solomon's life and... But I'd like to just say this is the greatest challenge that I have, and perhaps it's a big challenge for you. And but it's so essential, and that is, if I narrow down the gospel to three words, I was thinking about this the other day, that I could narrow it down to what Paul says in 2 Timothy, right in the middle of this big verse. And he said, I know whom. Those are the three words. If I had to narrow the gospel down to what is really essential, is I know whom. And that is the greatest challenge that I have in front of me. It's not knowing about. Because a lot of us know about. And then we get into arguments about it sometimes, which is really silly. Because what I know about is different than what you know about, and so we're going to debate. And I have a couple friends that like to do that, and I hate it. Because at the end of the day, if I don't know whom, all my abouts are meaningless. And the one thing that you and I are challenged with is enduring. And that word endurance, I've done a study and I have it right here and can make copies for you all. But I'm not going to. You're welcome. Endurance has to do with staying under. There's a word, a root word, and I'm sure I've said this years ago. It's hupomone and hupomone or something. There's two different forms of it. One is patience in the English, and the other one is endurance, and they're very connected. And patient continuance, cheerful continuance. And enduring generally is a little more narrow, it's a little more defined, it's staying under. And that would be staying under the authority of the Lord in our hearts, the government of the Lord. And that is of the greatest essential thing for any of us. I realize that with my knowledge about the Lord, that hasn't helped me stay under. Sometimes I get irritated reading the Bible. I get irritated reading T. Austin Sparks. I get irritated at conventions because you just keep getting inundated with the information about. And after a while, it vexes me. Because what I actually have to have, I must know the author that all this stuff is about, right? I must know the author. And if you look at Solomon's life, he had such a life. He had such a great beginning in that he said, you know, he had a wonderful prayer and God seemed to be impressed with it. And I've heard guys preach that he should have asked this and he should have asked something else. I thought what he asked was pretty good. He says, let me see if I have it here. Let me see. I am but a child. I know not how to go out or come in. Give me an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge all this great? It says the speech pleased the Lord. And so the Lord, you know, we gave him all this wisdom and he gave him all kinds of things. And he appears to him this one time. And he said, if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days. So Solomon started on his journey, and I think that was a pretty good start. Where I'm a child, and I don't know how to go out or come in. I think that is an essential ingredient for all of us. Is we really don't know how to go out or come in. We made that discovery. But what happened as time went on, God answered and gave him wisdom, and he gave him more wisdom than anybody had ever had. And so in the process of time, he continued, he started developing his life. And it says he had 40,000 stalls for horses. Carrie, you weren't even paying attention to that scripture, and that would be, I would have thought I would have heard an amen from you right there. 40,000 stalls of horses. I know some of you were rejoicing over a foal the other day. This guy had 40,000 stalls of horses, and he had 12,000 horsemen. Anyway, he didn't lack anything. his wisdom excelled all. He said, I don't know if this is all true, but it said that he received yearly 666 talents of gold. And they said, and I, you know, you don't always know if everybody, it's exactly right, but with today at $2,000 an ounce, that's worth $1.6 trillion. He had shields of hammered gold. He had a gold overlaid throne. All his goblets were made of gold. All the household articles in one of his palaces were pure gold. Anyway, he got all this. He really had a lot of gold. That's what the Lord showed me. So he had a lot of horses, he had a lot of gold. And then, of course, this is the one we all like to giggle about because it's unfathomable. But it's in 1 Kings 11. King Solomon loved many strange women. The daughter of Pharaoh, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites. The nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. And Solomon clave to these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. So when he was old, his heart was turned away. And you can read the summation of Solomon's life in Ecclesiastes, and particularly chapter 2. Ecclesiastes gives a very thorough examination, and he said this one thing, and I thought, man, this is the very essence of what people look for. I mean, really, all of us. I mean, there wasn't anything that he withheld from himself. If you have an income of whatever I said it was, $1.6 trillion, there isn't anything you couldn't withhold from yourself in terms of what this earth has to offer, right? So hence, you know, he had all those horses and all those wives would be expensive, but he could afford them. It just occurred to me how much help that guy got, right, from all those wives. hadn't thought of that. He had all that stuff, you know. He said, "There's nothing I couldn't have," and I think now that is, that's the ultimate of the ultimate for a man to be able to have whatever he wants when he wants. And so he had servants and he just explored. He was an amazing person. Apparently he wrote volumes and volumes about the flora and fauna of the earth and all these things he did. And then, of course, the whole book of Ecclesiastes, he makes this discovery that all of it was vanity. You know, don't you think that, I mean, do you think God was letting us in on something by putting some of this in the Bible, you know? He said, okay, this guy had everything his heart ever wanted. And he tells us in the New Testament, he said, consider the lilies, right? And he said, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know, I bought my wife flowers this week because I'm a wonderful husband. That's the main reason. The secondary reason is it was our anniversary, so she likes flowers. But I wasn't sure, I don't know if you know this, but people, this is hypothetical, people have different tastes. Yeah. So I thought I was trying to get it right when I was talking to the lady. Not too much pink, no ribbons, but I did manage to get, there was a lily in there, which she promptly removed because that was a mistake. Yeah, and I'm so thankful because I am still learning. But the Bible refers to such a least flower like a lily, which I didn't know was least till this week, and says Solomon wasn't even arrayed like one of these, right? And but you know what? You know what the Bible, it says something so interesting. Like Solomon, when they were dedicating the temple, and the temple program was just enormous, what they did. And you know, you can read about it. It's an interesting investigation. But the presence of God was so heavy, nobody could stand up. The priest couldn't stand up. That's how heavy the presence of God was. And Solomon had a tremendous prayer. He says, and let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes, to keep his commandments. He then sacrifices, listen to this. You know, we talk about all the human efforts we've made, but listen to this. 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. Like, who even counted those? And then it says the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time. And you know, all this stuff that Solomon accumulated, if you read over in Deuteronomy 17, you don't have to, but it just, it says, this is the rules for kings. Don't multiply horses to yourself. Okay. Don't multiply horses. Neither shall he greatly multiply himself silver and gold. Okay. And guess what else? Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. And so that was said of the kings, and that was available for the kings to read, you know, for nighttime reading. But with the Bible, you know, God appears to Solomon twice, and he doesn't mention any of those things. Because it's not knowledge about that enables you and I to endure. It's knowing him. It's relating to him. And Solomon had more knowledge than anybody in this room about. But what the Bible makes a big thing about is, at the when Solomon's heart is turned away, he says, it's an interesting line. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away, which had appeared unto him twice. And I thought, that was the thing that was important to God. Right. That there was personal contact with him a couple times, and he said, look, and he didn't get specific. He just said, walk with me, stay with me, relate to me. Right. Yep. That's what he said. Yep. And that's the one thing Solomon didn't do. Mm-hmm. Solomon had all these other attachments. Thousands and thousands of attachments and investigation and all those things. And God doesn't mention a single one. He just says, relate to me. And what you and I have to understand, that there's no way with all the knowledge that I have or you have about God, it will enable us to endure or stay under. We must know him. And what I mean by that is it must be personal to what he actually is saying to me. It must be the quietness of my heart. Jesus endured the same way as Moses, as seeing him who is invisible. That's how Moses endured. He saw the one that was invisible. He was in contact with that one. He had living contact with the one that had called him, with the one that he was engaged with. He had ongoing contact with. And how significant. Jesus did the same thing. You often find him going off alone. They want to make him a king, and you see him, he went off alone. And then he says to the disciples, pretty soon you're all going to be scattered and you're going to go all over the place, but I am not alone. Because the Father is with me. Can I tell you something? That is the assurance that you and I need to have in our hearts. Not that God exists, but that God is here. I'm not alone. Because the Father's with me. Why is it so important for the Father to be with me? Because I need that contact. I need that intersection. I need that living interruption to be able to endure. Because I won't stay in the warfare. There are things that God has left here, and I wish he hadn't left them. Because he wants to get rid of them little by little. So I understand that there's a source of life that is able to overcome whatever comes up. And he leaves some things longer. I was so pleased the other day because I talked about God, to God about something over and over and over. And it wasn't that it's gone or there's no warfare. It's just he showed me a picture of my hand grabbing the head of a snake. And that, I got to tell you, is the last thing I would do. I don't know if you ever watch those creepy things on YouTube. I do. Because I watched a guy face to face with a cobra. That guy, you know, what was the takeaway? The man is an idiot. That was the takeaway. It wasn't, wow, this guy. Now, I did read one time that sometimes they take the venom out of the snake. I don't know. Yeah, they do milk them. I know that, but it comes back. So I'm just wondering. But I got this image of the last thing that I would do, and my hand was on a snake. And so every time I come into the warfare that I am acquainted with, that I know about, I see my hand grabbing the head of the snake. Where did I get that? I got that from somewhere here of the Spirit of God that said, this is what's going on and this is what needs to go on. Put this down. There are things you need to put down, not because you have some ability, but because you know the one that's called you and revealed to you what you got to put down. Why does he want you to put it down? So you can understand that he is faithful to the end to bring you into full deliverance. And you don't do that alone. Right. You're not alone. You do it because he reveals it to you. The most important thing that happens with any of us is that he reveals to me and to you in a specific way how he wants you to walk. Yeah. It's not changing my behavior, though it does. There's nowhere it says, God said to Solomon when he appeared to him the second time, well, you've got too many horses, you've got too many wives, you've got that, 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 that. He wanted Solomon to relate to him so he could find out what kind of heavenly father he was. And that it didn't matter what God was doing in his life, it was okay because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts and in his heart. And so it doesn't matter everything that comes up in our lives, you got to have contact with that source in order to endure it. It's the only way to endure. It's the only way to stay under is that you have contact. We do so many things here, so many activities, so many attachments. And I'm not ungrateful for anybody's labor of love, but the thing that is essential, the thing that is the absolute message of the gospel is that I know whom. Yeah.
And if I don't have that, then I don't have anything. The reason I'm excited about grabbing a snake, because it came from my Heavenly Father that cares about me and is out to save my soul. Well, I think that's all I need to say, I guess. You should be so appreciative. I narrowed down pages of notes to like 20 or 25 minutes.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, dear, for brevity and for the truth. Very quickly, the praise this morning, please, would you write this down, Mason Salvaggio, in case somebody wants to attack later. This is not, I'm going to say two things, neither of which are correction, okay? First of all, the praise this morning, if you noticed, was talking about power, okay? And I know that the praise leaders have heard enough to know that they're not going to go try to raise the dead, do unusual things. They're looking for the power of what David was talking about, to wait, listen, be in a place where they have a relationship. And I'll just say this quickly. Most of the Christian groups, when they are baptized in the Spirit and have gifts and the rest, and I was one of them, so I'm not talking against anybody, because my wife is very, she red pencils my criticism. But the church, there was a time when we believed in our power to do grandiose things that God was working on. Is that right? That we could do those. The fault is, the power that you have is to, what we've heard, stay under, in patience, possess your soul. And everything, David said it very well, everything is dealing with relationship, not your sin. Because if you have a relationship, I mean, if I were traveling with you and we were close and you were my age or whatever, and I knew that there are certain things you hated, places you didn't want to eat, you're a very old, persnickety guy, I wouldn't want to offend you. And that's the take home. You have a relationship with God, and you don't want anything to mess that up. So you do repent, but God is putting the check. And I just want to say about something about Solomon. I think he's there. I think he was, I mean, people like to say, no, he had all those girls, he had all that money, he had all that. I sat here thinking, my God, I have been a low-grade dime store Solomon, in some ways. Somebody say amen. If you don't, I mean, are we rich? Are we overwhelmed with what God has done? We should be. Now, the second thing, and this, please, this was very good. David is very clear. I just want you to know, don't think that because to know whom is somebody saying you don't, okay? I think everyone who has been born from above knows the Lord. And even, I mean, some of the high school kids, sophomores, they know the Lord in some way. Is that unfair? Is there anybody here that would say, I don't know the Lord at all, and I want to know him more? You can. Is there anyone? And my point is, you know him, but do you have what Billy Graham said, the depth of a personal relationship? That's what I'm hungry for. I mean, David is raving about a circumstance that came from God, because those things are big deals. I think I may have preached it here or on Zoom, but somebody walked by in the early morning, and I'd been praying about that person. They walked by, and I go, and I was talking to God. I thought, dear God, what a low-grade conversation. The angels, they said, did you see what he did with God? He did this. And seconds later, that person came back, and there was a contact that I haven't had for months. Yeah. Months! Because we're busy. We're busy people, all of us. But you know him. Don't leave here today. And I know David wasn't saying that, okay? But some of you, because of the dealings and because of your clinging to life as you see it, you will say, oh God, I'm no good, I'm no, and you're not, okay? You have every evidence against yourself. However, you're standing against the mercy, the grace, and the sacrifice of Christ for you and for all mankind. So you're not without help, you're not without power, and I know you guys weren't trying to do that, but I love the, didn't you see the sequence of the song, of the singing today? Well, our friends the Johnson out there, that whole group, they're multitudes of, they're a large group, they're our brothers. And they're saying, we're going to stop cancer in its track. We have a place on our, there will be no more of that. We're going to raise the dead. We're going to go up to a close to a casket, or worse, a gravestone. And I'm going to grave suck the nature of that prophet who died. That's craziness. Okay? But they're still our brothers. They're still our brothers. And we have been there and done that. You know God. Bless your hearts. You know him. Is there anybody, if anybody is concerned deeply that you don't know him and you want three or four of the elders to sit down with you, do that. All of us want to know more. We want conversations with him. Right? And can we just bow our heads as we close and say, God, thank you. I believe you're going to speak to me today in a way that I know it's you, because I've been asking for it. This is where prayer comes in. Because if you pray for one another, you pray for a relative. I had a great time with my daughter the other day. She couldn't have been more upbubble and more wonderful. Emerson wasn't there, but God has a hold of him. Yeah. It's not my program, it's God's program. And I salute whatever he's doing, because I don't know. And so do you. You are wonderful, you're his property. You are absolutely every precious thing his eyes see. And you are the most precious thing that God has. All the lilies, all the flowers, all the beauty, the whole creation is not close to the love and the care that your Heavenly Father has for you this instant. Right now. It's not something you've got to go do. It's done and cultivated, as we've heard. It's been a good morning. God help us. Be with our little sister over there who has heard that there is no death. And dear God, this instant, I ask you, I beseech you on behalf of all of our hearts, that you would be with her in her transition, and she would be strengthened and even see beyond the pale, because you're a good father. She didn't have one on this side. He did what he could. He was hurt. She was alone, great one. So be a father. And forgive me for giving you instructions. What the rear end of a caravan I can be. Dear God, thank you that we know you, and we're going to keep knowing who you are day by day.